Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor DM. Thankful to God to be back with you yet another Sunday. Amen. We honor the Lord for giving us this opportunity. Amen. And thank God that you can join in with us. We praise the Lord for all of you. Amen. And those that have been following us, those that are new to following us. Amen. And those that are praying for the Essential Church, we love you. We are just so honored to come into your lives each week. Amen. And share God's word with you. And we pray that you are blessed by the word of the Lord that you hear. Amen. The teaching that you get. Amen. Pray for me. Pray for Pastor DM. Amen. As I continue to do the work of the Lord. But we're just so honored, so grateful to God for this glorious Sunday, this beautiful day that he has given. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we're thankful to God for you. You, and you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing in this moment, if you're tuning in, we just thank God for your presence with us. Amen. 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 Before we get started, which here at the Essential Church, we love the word. We just love the word of God. But before we get into that, we've got two important announcements. We want you to pay attention. Okay, first on the list is the free promotional on my latest book, Theological, Understanding Calvinism and Arminianism. The book is actually up for free starting tomorrow, okay? Monday, July 1st. Tomorrow is July. Today is the last day in June. It's hard to believe, I know, but that is the case. Tomorrow is July the 1st. Amen. And the book will go on sale at Amazon.com starting tomorrow, July 1st through July 5th, which is this coming Friday. If you'll notice, the 4th is before the 5th. So the 4th, or Independence Day here, or the 4th of July, as we call it, is on Thursday this year, this week. So, you know, Americans will get to celebrate their nation's independence during the free promotional of my book. That was the point in doing it. Do it on a holiday week so that people can kind of slow down and remember to pick up the book. Now, Theological is only free on Kindle. Okay, according to Amazon rules, I cannot give free promotionals on hardback books or paperback books. I can only give them on Kindle digital editions. So the Kindle book is available for free. It normally costs $9.99, but we're giving you a free $10 book. Amen. So you can read it. You can have access to some good resource materials in your walk with the Lord, in your study of Calvinism and Arminianism. It is my belief as a pastor, as a seminarian of 9 years. Yes, I attended seminary for 9 years. I did 5 years in the Master of Divinity program, and I did 4 years in the Master of Theology program, which is sort of a doctoral prep degree, if you will. It's semi-doctoral work, essentially. And I did 9 years at seminary, and I learned in those 9 years that there's so few Christians in the church today that know anything about Calvinism and Arminianism. Few people even know what those terms mean. They don't even know Calvinism is named after John Calvin, you know, and Arminianism is named after James Arminius. And they don't even know why it's important. They have no clue about this debate. They just know these are some terms that some seminarians toss around, and maybe their pastors tossed around a time or two, but they don't really know what it is. Amen. We want to give you free resources so you can actually learn what it is. Because it's my belief, once you learn what it is, you'll realize how important it is. And once you know how important it is, you'll never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Your worship will never be the same. Your study of God's word will never be the same. Once you realize, amen, that the choices you make do matter, and that you are not in Christianity just to go to sleep, just to slumber. You know, you're not here just to rest on the heavenly pillow and just ride it out to glory. No, God expects you to do something after you come to Christ. He expects you to bear fruit. As Paul says in Ephesians 2, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God the Father has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're prepared. God has prepared us to do good works. That's the point of being saved, is to bear fruit. To, as Jesus says in Matthew 5:5, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. I might have gotten the verse wrong for Matthew 5, but it says it in Matthew 5. Amen. 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 Have mercy on the pastor. Amen. Pastor can't quote every verse right. Amen. Amen. But the point being that God has created us in Christ. He's made us anew. He saved us. He's brought us from sin to salvation. He's brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we would do something for him. We are not saved to slumber. We are not saved to go to sleep. Amen. And it's my belief that Calvinism and Arminianism is so undertaught and rarely mentioned in churches nowadays. Most people don't even understand there's an alternative view to their view of salvation. They think theirs is the only one. Yeah, I was pretty shocked too when I went to seminary and found out that there's a group of people called Calvinists who hold to a teaching called Calvinism that says God selects some to be saved and reprobates and passes over others. So there's the elect and the reprobate. God loves the elect, but God hates the reprobate. And the worst part is God selects them to be reprobate. It's not their reprobate because they didn't receive him. They're reprobate because God damned them from before time and there's nothing they can do about it. That's literally what the view says. Now, some of you are like, I've never heard of that. Of course you haven't. You've been going to the wrong churches and listening to some of the wrong pastors. You know, the reality is you got to talk to people that have studied the doctrine. And I'm one of the few out there that studied it. And I know because I stay afloat. I've got contacts all over the place. And most are not talking about it in their pulpits. Most are not. Those that are trying to disguise it where people don't really know what it is. But I'm coming out outright and telling you what it is. Amen. So you need this book. Amen. It is free on Kindle. You can say, well, Pastor DM, I love to read, but I just want a paperback. I want to feel the book in my hands. Who cares if you want to feel the book in your hands? The bottom line is it's free. It's free. What is it going to hurt you to download a free book that is going to help you grow in your walk with the Lord? It's free. You know, if we weren't given the books for free, some of you out there would be complaining, well, Pastor DM, she don't ever give anything for free. When we give the stuff for free, then you don't go download it. So it's like you want it, but you don't want it. And that doesn't help us because we're trying to help you. Amen. We're trying to give you some good resources. Amen. So that you can learn what this is. Because I can promise you it's not a lot of those televangelists making millions are not going to try to give you free stuff. They're not going to give you many free books. They're looking for you to send so much money in and then you'll get a free book when you give them some money. We don't ask for your money here. We ask for your time. We ask for your prayers. We ask that you would come study God's word with us, but we're not asking for money. This book, however, is in a free promotional for the next 5 days. Starting tomorrow, you've got no excuses to go download it. So the book is called Theological, Understanding Calvinism and Arminianism. It's going to be free on Kindle at Amazon.com. And those of you that are around the world, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not an American. Bless you. We bless you, internationals, for joining us. Amen. God's word is God's word, and believers are believers. Amen. We don't care where you are. We're just thankful that you worship and you fellowship with us. And guess what? Amazon's promo that we're doing is free in all countries starting tomorrow. So you don't have to even be an American celebrating Independence Day to take advantage of it. Amen. We want you to go to Amazon.com and take advantage of the free promotional. No matter where you live, no matter what country you're in, if it's free at Amazon.com, it's free everywhere. Amen. Take advantage of it. 5 days. Amen. Get your free book, Theological, and get to reading. Amen. Get these resources and get to reading them. Don't let them sit on your Kindle shelf and collect dust. And I know you're saying it's a virtual shelf. It ain't got no dust, but you get my point. Don't let it collect dust. Don't let it sit there. Don't do nothing with it. Don't just sit there and let it do nothing. Read the book. Get the book and read it. It's 150 pages. It's an easy read. If there's a question you have, feel free to write in and I will be happy to answer that for you. But don't just let it sit on the sidelines. Amen. Get that book and read it and do something with it. Amen. And grow in your walk with the Lord. So that's the first announcement is on the book. The next announcement, amen. Well, before I get to the next announcement, let me intrude with this. Those of you that are always on the lookout for new literature, there is a little bit of a surprise. I think I mentioned it before, but Pastor DM is at work on another book. Amen. I have been working this weekend on it, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you and telling you some more about it as the weeks go on. Amen. The book is not going out this quickly. Amen. We're not putting the book out yet. There may be something else slight, something else small that I do this summer by summer's end, but this book that I'm preparing now is not it. It is a big whammy of a book. It is an original work. I can tell you that. It's a work that I've not seen on shelves anywhere on any bookstore online or in physical stores. I've never seen a book of this type that we are doing, that God has blessed me to do. Amen. And I am working day and night on it to get it done. Amen. In the next few months. So there is a book coming. There may be two books coming. Some things that God has got me doing. Amen. So say a prayer. Amen. Pray for me. Pray for the books. Pray for what God is doing with them, because we need to write. There is a lost world of Christians. You know, I went to seminary thinking that I was supposed to convert the world, you know, that I was supposed to teach and preach the gospel to the world. It's sad to say, but now we're having to teach and preach it even to the church, because there are people who think they're following God that don't really know what the gospel is. And that might surprise you, but that's just the way it is. Amen. There are some lost Christians in the world, not just lost unsaved folk, because I mean, you expect unsaved people to be lost, but we're talking about Christians that are lost. They don't even know the gospel themselves. They can't even articulate what the gospel is if you ask them, you know. And we go to church with some of them, you know, and work with some of them. And you know, their children go to school with our children. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so at the end of the day, there's a great need to write. Amen. And there's a great need to produce the next generation of readers, people that are going to read and study, because in our world, so few people are reading and studying. You know, they tell me when you want to be an author, you're really taking a big gamble, because very few people are reading nowadays, especially Christians. And sadly, it's true. As I stay an Amazon author, and I've been for the last 2 years, there are fewer Christians reading than ungodly folk. There are unsaved folk that are out there, man, they read voraciously. They never get enough reading. They're reading all the time. I've got a friend who just got a book contract not too long ago, and she's got this series, this fictional series, and guess what? She's got tons of people out there reading it, and they're unsaved, but they're heathen. They are unbelievers, man, and they are just reading it up. Before she can even get a book written, they're ready to read the next one. You know, and it's like, it's really something to see that unbelievers are more actively reading than believers are. It's really sad, because it just goes to show you that we've not been taught the importance of education, and believers haven't. I imagine plenty of people in the world are taught. It's terrible. You know, atheists go to school now and get education. You don't have to push atheists to go to school. They go to school and get education. Some of them leave the Christian faith because they've actually done some study a time or two. I'm not saying they're right in their conclusions, but I'm saying they love to study. They love to study. They have a desire and an appetite for study. And most of us Christians don't, because, you know, there's a song that my professor told me that we like to sing in churches all across the world, especially Baptists in America, right? And the song goes a little something like this. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He lives within my heart. And that's the problem. He ought to live within your heart. He ought to live within your head. He ought to live within your thoughts, your brain. He ought to live in not just your heart, but in all that you are. But the problem is, for us, he lives within our heart. And because he only lives within your heart, you don't think you need to read. Christians don't think they need to study. They don't think they need to pick up a book because, well, I got Jesus and that's good enough. But Jesus wants you to know him better. And you can't know. Let me tell you, you know what the word disciple means? I've said it before, but let me say it again. You know what the word disciple means? In the Greek, it means learner. It means student. Uh-oh, there goes Christianity for some of us, because some of us don't want to be students. But God's word says that when you follow the Lord, he is the master teacher and we are his students. That means we're to always be studying our Lord. And how can we study him if we don't read his word and we don't read books that are discussing what his word means? If we're not ever wrestling with the interpretations of a given passage of scripture, how are we ever going to learn more about our Lord? I'm not arguing that Christianity is for the brightest of us, the smartest of us, the most genius of us, the most brilliant. I'm not saying that's what Christianity is, but I'm saying that we should be like those in the Berean church who searched the scriptures. We should be like those individuals after the Samaritan woman said, come and see a man that told me everything about myself. We come to see this man, Jesus. And once we see him and we can verify who he is, we say, you know what? Now we believe, not because you told us, but because we know he is the Savior of the world. When is it going to be time for you to start reading more about Scripture, reading commentaries? When's the time going to come for you to do more than just go to church and sing out of a hymnal and shake hands with people you know? When is church going to become more? When is Christ going to become more important? When is your relationship with him going to be about more than just the ordinary things, singing songs, shouting, going to music programs, and coming back home and just feeling just as empty as you felt when you left? Because it's easy to shout on a song. I'm talking about shouting in your soul when you read the word and God reveals himself to you. That type of shouting within, you can't get from a musical program. I don't care how great the songs are. And I say this, I've been a minister of music. Now, I've been a minister of music going on 22 years. And I can say this as a minister of music, called by God, degreed and all. I can tell you that no song will replace the word. You must have the word of God. You must read the Bible. No music can replace it. No band, I don't care how great they are. No singer, I don't care how famous they are. I don't care if it was Whitney Houston singing the song. If Whitney Houston was singing the song still don't replace the word. So many of us in church life, we go to all these Christian music services and we get all the music we can hold, all the praise and worship. It's easy to praise God because when you praise him, you're just thanking him for what he's done. Well, that's easy to do. The hardest thing to do is when you read the word and God tells you what you ought to do. See, we're thankful for what God does, long as God don't demand we do anything. And Christianity is not a sit down, do nothing faith. It is an active faith that does things. It is an active faith of good works. God didn't save you for you to sit down. He saved you so you can get up. Amen. Amen. And we've got better that we can do. We should do better for our Lord. He gave everything for us. He went to the cross for us. Is it really too much of a price for us to be able to read the word and study the word and study theology and study scripture? Is that really too much to ask when he did everything for us? No, he's our Lord. Nothing is too difficult. There's no price that's too high to pay for our Lord. That should be your mindset, mine, and every other believer's who names the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. So let's be about the word of God. Let's be about reading. Let's be about studying. Amen. Now I'm going to go on to the next announcement. Amen. Our time is getting a little bit long in the tooth for our announcements. Amen. Because we're trying to get into the word. But just right quickly, our second church anniversary, the Essential Church is celebrating its second church anniversary coming up. Amen. This coming month, July, July 21st. Amen. The third Sunday in July. Amen. We are celebrating our second year on the internet as an internet church ministry. Amen. And we just thank God for 2 years that he's given us. Amen. I've not always been able to be at my best in those 2 years. I have had days and times I've had to take off. Amen. To care for loved ones and to restore my own health and to get my own rest. Amen. But we thank God for the 2 years he's blessed us to be on the internet. Amen. We just thank the Lord for what he has done. And we pray that God continue to bless us. Amen. That this not be the last 2 years. Amen. That God give us many, many more. We want you to pray for that service. Amen. Yours truly, Pastor DM, will be preaching the word. Amen. So look forward to that recording. Pray for the service. Pray for me. Amen. Pray that God will continue to grow our numbers. Amen. It is my desire that people hear the word of God. And I just believe that when you give people the word of God, God will do the drawing. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. And he was talking about his resurrection. But you know what that song says? Lift him up. It says, basically, if you lift him up by living as a Christian, let the Savior in you people see. Then men will gladly follow him who once taught, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. So let's live a life that draws people to him. And so I believe if you give people the word, amen, people will come. God will do the drawing. He didn't tell me do the drawing. He didn't say, Pastor DM, you draw them. No, he told me, give them the word. Give them the word and I will do the drawing. So I'm going to tell you amen, on third Sunday in July, what the Lord says, what thus saith the Lord, amen. What you do with it is up to you, amen. But come, pray, amen, and rejoice with us as we celebrate our second church anniversary. God has been good, amen. I thank the Lord. I'm so honored that God has put me in this place. You don't know just how blessed I feel that God has called me to this great task of shepherding his people, amen. And though my flock may be small, and I'm just grateful to have a flock, amen. I'm just grateful to be a shepherd. I'm grateful to be an under-shepherd, amen. I'm just thankful for what God has given me, amen. So I just ask your prayers would be upon us, amen, as we celebrate that this coming month. Keep hanging out with us till then, okay? Come back next Sunday, amen, and the Sunday after, and the Sunday after, amen, and continue to ride through this Christian journey with us, amen. We are on our way to the promised land, amen. Every day we are making progress, amen, walking with the Lord, and we want you to come and join in with us. Those are my announcements, and as I always end it, love one another, pray for one another, and help one another along the way so that your living will not be in vain. Amen, amen, amen. Now we are ready for the main course, amen, the Word of God. Oh, glory. I celebrate the Word, man, I'm telling you. So those of you that have your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you always should, I'm going to ask that you would turn with me to the letter of 2 John, the epistle of 2 John. 2 John, and there's only one chapter, okay? So you can call it 2 John 1 or just 2 John because there's only one epistle. 2 John, go with me to verse 7. We're going to read verses 7 through 11 today. And we've been talking about in 1 John, which we just finished up last week, we were talking about the Antichrist. Now we said, we've been teaching about the Antichrist and we've said two things about them. What are those two things? First is that they, what, confess that Christ has not come in the flesh. And the second thing is they deny that Jesus is the Christ. Those are the two things. They deny that Christ has come in the flesh. So they deny the incarnation. And then they deny that Jesus is the Christ. And we just read in 1 John a few weeks ago, John says, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? In other words, they are liars who come in and say he isn't. And the Antichrist have been doing this, coming into the church, teaching that Jesus is not the Christ and he has not come in the flesh. In other words, denying the incarnation. Now, as I said before, if you deny the incarnation, you deny that he came in the flesh, you deny that he died on the cross. And if you deny that he died on the cross, you deny that he died for sin, which means your sins are not forgiven and we are still hell bound and we are the most miserable of all men, as Paul says, and to be pitied. That's what they're admitting. And so John is like, the liars are those coming in to try to deceive you. You have an anointing. That's what he's telling the church. You have an anointing from the Holy One. You don't need me to teach you because the anointing is teaching you. But I'm warning you about these antichrists, these false prophets and teachers that are coming in the church because they are trying to deceive you. John says, don't be fooled. Be on guard. Abide in the things, in the doctrine you've been taught. For if you abide in the doctrine, you will abide in the Father and the Son. You can't have the Father without the Son. You can't have the Son without the Father. If you don't abide in the doctrine, you don't have God. So in other words, don't give over to this false teaching, because if you do, you will apostatize from the faith. That is what John was saying to the church. Amen. And it's important we remember that as we go into 2 John, because here John continues writing about the Antichrist, or as they say here, beware of Antichrist deceivers. I'm reading from the New King James, and that's what they titled this section, amen. So we're going to start at verse 7 and go through 11, amen. So follow along with us, amen. Now let's read the word of the Lord. 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. John says, he's talked about before in the first 6 verses, he greets the church. He says that we found that some of your children are walking in truth. He talks about the commandment that we love one another. And this is love. If we love God, we do his commandments. And he said that we've heard the truth and we should walk in the truth. And now John says, why am I telling you to walk in the truth? Because there are many deceivers that have gone out into the world that do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. In other words, they say he never died. He never came to earth, so he never died. There is no crucifixion. There is no resurrection. That's what these antichrists were saying. John says, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. They're antichristos. They are against Christ, but they're also a deceiver. John's already told them they're trying to deceive you. Now, what does it mean to deceive somebody? It means to lead them astray, to manipulate them, to do what? To try to control things so that you see them fall instead of seeing them succeed. You deceive them by telling them a lie. This is true when really it isn't. John says that's what these believers in the church are doing. Verse 8, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. John says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Now, it's interesting the language there in verse 8. He says, we do not lose those things we work for. Uh-oh, there's implying some loss. There is some loss here. And John says, don't lose the things that you've worked for, but receive a full reward. Now, what does this mean? Well, I did a little looking up in commentaries, and what it means for most people, if you read it in context, John, you know, again, he reiterates the same things that he did in 1 John. Amen. What you find out is the full reward is eternal life. That's, you know, that's what people seem to suggest this is. I presume that by reading, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, at least got a feel for what others think about this passage. Some think that losing the things that we work for means that you get to eternity and you lose rewards for things that you've done in ministry, right? So you don't actually get those rewards. But notice here that the Antichrist doctrine is that Jesus did not come in the flesh. It's dealing with salvation and the gospel. And so the full reward, he says, look to yourselves, we do not lose those things that we work for. Well, what have we worked for? We're working for eternal life. So the full reward is eternal life. And John says, don't lose anything. Make sure you get everything that you've worked for. If you're laboring as a Christian, you're laboring for eternal life. Don't just come to the Lord and get your spiritual gifts and assemble with the saints on earth and then die and forfeit heaven because you did not abide in the right doctrine. See, I told you, doctrine matters. Doctrine determines whether you're with the Lord or not. It determines whether you're saved or an apostate. Doctrine matters. And some people have given up right doctrine for wrong doctrine. They have apostatized. They have abandoned Christ. Their faith has been made a shipwreck, as Paul says. Their faith has been made a shipwreck. And we've gone over what shipwreck means. Amen. Go back and look at some of the work we did on 1st and 2nd Timothy. 2 Timothy in particular, made shipwreck. When you shipwreck, what happens? You wreck the ship, right? So what does that mean? The ship has some damage, right? The ship has some damage. In many cases, the ship is so totaled, you can't ever reuse it again. Well, that's what it means to make shipwreck of your faith. It's to wreck your faith to such an extent, your faith doesn't survive. You lose your faith. Your faith goes. It disappears. You completely apostatize. So when John says, don't lose those things that we work for, but receive a full reward, John is saying, stay in the truth. Stay in the truth. Don't lose any of your reward. Don't lose any of it. Now, whichever interpretation you hold to in this passage, I believe there's only one reward. When God goes to Abraham in Genesis, he tells Abraham, well, Abraham, I am your reward. So that's the reward is Jesus. Jesus is our reward. And so, but when he talks about losing those things that we work for, those things, plural, refer to eternity, eternal life with Christ and all the blessings that come with that. And guess what? Many of us don't know all those blessings. I don't know all those blessings. Because you know what Paul says? Eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for them that love him. All the things God has in store for you and me when we get to eternity, guess what? We don't know what all those things are. We can only speculate, but we don't know. Our eyes have never seen them, amen. But one day we will see them, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So John says, be careful. Understand, they are deceiving you. They are against the gospel. Don't follow them. Don't listen to them, because you will lose what you've worked for. Don't lose the things you've worked for. Don't come this far and then throw it all away. John is like, if you've come this far, keep pressing, because the reward is around the corner. The reward is at the end of your life. Don't give up now. It's too late to turn back now, as the song says. That's what John is saying. Don't come this far, man, and then throw it all away. What a waste. That's what I would say to you believers. Don't come this far in your walk with the Lord and then throw it all away, man. What a waste. What a waste. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Verse 9, John says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, he said this in 1 John, but again, he reiterates it. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. If you do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, if you do not stay in the right doctrine, you do not have God. So if you start in the doctrine and you apostatize and give way to false doctrine, you don't have God. Why? Because they're denying Jesus has come in the flesh. That's the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his son. His son came to earth and took on flesh and dwelt among us. John writes this in his gospel, John chapter 1. He says he took on flesh and he dwelt among us, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And then he goes down to say that he took on flesh and he dwelt among us. This creator of the world, this God of God, came to earth, amen, in the person of Jesus Christ. Forgive me for these notifications that are in the background. I've got some family that are trying to kind of contact me, and you know, they don't know when I have my services, amen, but it is a little annoying. So pray for them, pray for me. But in any case, if you do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that is the teaching about Christ, you do not have God. It is important to understand that you cannot, be in Christ and yet not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Doctrine really does matter. In fact, we are saved based on certain doctrine. We have to confess the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord. And we have to believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. Those are doctrinal things. And we have to believe those to be saved. You have to believe doctrine to be saved. So that's why with the Antichrist coming teaching against that doctrine, that's why apostasy is at stake. That's why John says, if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. Because if you don't abide in the gospel, you're not saved anymore. You can actually cease believing the gospel. That's what John is arguing in 1 John and 2 John. You can cease believing the gospel. You can cease believing the gospel. Now, if you talk to Calvinists and eternal security advocates, they're not going to like the sound of that. But at the end of the day, this is what Scripture is teaching us. Hold on for just a second. Amen. I had to mute some notifications there. I understand they want to have time to do things. Amen. They're on vacation and they're getting back. But at the same time, I need to be able to stay in the Word. Amen. And keep focus. So I shut off notifications for the time that we study together. Verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now John says, if anyone comes to see you and does not bring this doctrine, in other words, if he does not bring the right doctrine, If he doesn't tell you the right doctrine about Christ, that he came in the flesh and that he is the Christ, he says, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. In other words, if you entertain the Antichrist, you agree with them. So the only way to stay true to the faith is to deny them. Do not visit with them. Do not greet them. Do not open your door to them. Do not make time for them, because they are teaching false doctrine. And if you give way to it and you invite them to come in and make time with them, then you are a partaker of their evil. You are evil like them. You are consenting to false doctrine. You're consenting to the Antichrist and to the deceiver. John says, don't give them the time of day, because what they're teaching is not true. Because if you give over to it, you will apostatize from the gospel. The gospel is doctrine. Yes, we know Jesus. We know the gospel is good news. But the gospel, the good news, is doctrine. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is the gospel. And if the Antichrist are teaching against the gospel, anti-gospel, you are not to give in. Because if you're saved by the gospel, then how are you condemned? By giving up that gospel you once embraced. That's what apostasy is. Remember what I said the other week about ex-evangelicals, the ex-evangelical movement on social media, like ex-wife or ex-husband? These ex-evangelicals are people who were formerly evangelicals, who embrace the good news. Because evangelical doesn't mean they vote Republican. That's what a lot of people think evangelical is. Oh, they're a conservative base that votes Republican. No, they're not. There are evangelicals that vote Democrat. There are evangelicals that vote independent. Evangelicalism is not about voting Republican. Evangelical comes from the word evangel. E-V-A-N-G-E-L. Or in the Greek, euangelion. You meaning good, angelion meaning news or message. The gospel is the euangelion. It is the good news, the good message of Jesus Christ. And evangelicals believe in the gospel, in the good news. In the world we live in, it looks like there's no hope, but there's good news that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the blessed hope for the world. Amen. There is good news, and that is that there is a world beyond this one. Amen. And that Jesus is Lord. And that he's promised to take us back to that world to be with him forever. That's the good news in the sad world we live in, right? But that's the evangelical. And every Christian is an evangelical who believes in the gospel. Well, these folks are ex-evangelicals. They are ex, like ex-pastor, ex-husband, ex-wife, used to be, but no longer are. The ex-evangelical movement is growing in intensity. The sad thing is, you got Christians online now identifying themselves as ex-evangelical. Well, because I'm not Republican. Little do they understand they're making themselves apostate. They're giving themselves over to false doctrine because they believe it's about political whatever. And it's not about a political agenda. It's that you're giving up the gospel. I'm not going to be ex-evangelical anything as a Bible-believing Christian. And neither should you. Neither should you. Amen. John says, don't greet these people. They're a deceiver. They're antichrist. Their doctrine is false. If you don't abide in the doctrine about Christ, you lose God. You do not have God. So don't entertain these people. Don't make time for them. Amen. He says, if they bring another doctrine, they don't bring this right doctrine. Do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Don't make time for him. Amen. Some people you know that are teaching false doctrine, if we're going to do what John says, we shouldn't be so willing to receive them. You know, rebuke them in love, but let them understand, no, this is serious business about the gospel of our Lord. And I'm not going to compromise this. I love you, but I love God more. I love God too much to compromise his gospel. He gave his life for this gospel that I teach and preach. And I love him too much to give it up for you. But the good news is he loved you so much, he gave his son, and you can be saved if you turn from this doctrine, false doctrine, and turn from your sins. That's the good news. But there is no good news in false doctrine, folks. There's nothing but hell, fire, and apostasy, and an eternity apart from Christ. Do you want that? No, because I sure don't. Amen. 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 We are done for today. Amen. I know it was a short teaching today. Amen. We didn't get into much. Amen. John was writing, and John didn't have much to say, but he warns them. He reminds them they're antichrist. He reminds them they're deceivers. He reminds them of what true doctrine is and what false doctrine is. And he says, don't receive them. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to give the benediction, and then we're going to let you go. We're going to dismiss. Amen. Let us look to the Lord. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word this day. In 2 John 1, God, we just thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to come and study more of your word. Lord, we thank you that we are reminded of what true doctrine is and what false doctrine is. We're reminded that true doctrine embraces the gospel and false doctrine denies the gospel. And that, Lord, we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived by false doctrine out here because our very salvation is at stake. Our very faith is at stake. And Lord, John tells us if we do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, we do not have God. And so, Lord, bless us to abide in the doctrine concerning you, the truth that we've heard from the beginning. Let us walk in it, Lord, so that we can walk in communion with the Father and the Son. Lord, we thank you for every soul that has come out to this day, Lord, to study more of your word and to hear this broadcast. Lord, we pray blessings upon them all as they go to their respective places, Lord. Bless them to come again, if it be your will. And Lord, next week we pray you would bring us back at the appointed time to study more of your word. We thank you, Lord, for this time. And we ask it all in the name of the one who died for us, in the name of the one who rose for us, and in the name of the one who is coming again for us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, dominion, and power, both now and forever. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. 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 I'm ready to give the benediction. I'm going to give one that I've given before, amen, but one that's a little different from my usual. We're ready for the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And all of God's people say amen, amen, and amen. We love you. We thank God for you. And we'll see you again next week.